Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We are recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello,
hello. Welcome to, oh, we are three black girls, one rose. My favorite time when yes. We're three black girls on the mic.
Oh my God, yes. Where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And today we're joined by a very, very special guest. She is an accomplished journalist, former senior fashion writer at Vogue.com. She has a freelance journalist career spanning over 15 years. Has written L cover stories for Doja Cat, FKA Twigs, Cardi B, just to name a few. She's also the podcast host of Your Favorite Auntie podcast and the writer behind the Substack, Notes from Auntie's Desk. Her work explores the intersection of style and culture. She has a super famous piece that I reread last week from The Cut 2019 called Fashion Was Super White in 2009. It still is. It is a must read, y'all. Mm-hmm. She also happens to be a really big Real Housewives fan and is going to help us recap today's episode of Potomac. Please welcome to the show, Marjan Carlos. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Lovely intro.
And, of course.
I feel like this is going to be a good combo. Just from
our little pre show. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're excited to have you here. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Excited to be here.
Nice.
Okay, so we have some warm up questions for you.
Okay.
So the first question is, who was your childhood crush?
Oh my God. I think it was like a combination. Mm-hmm. I love the boys from Crisscross.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm 40, so.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know.
Crisscross. Like, oh my God.
I think they were like the first guys that I had a crush on.
Mm-hmm. That's so cute.
I mean, that just ages me.
It is cute.
Really, I don't know. No. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. And then there was a moment, don't judge me. There was like a Macaulay Culkin moment because he was,
oh, that's
I was
fine.
Like a kid,
oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah. He was supposed to be. He was marketed to you.
Yeah, he was right. Home Alone.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. And then like, as I grew to be a teenager, it evolved from like immature. Do y'all remember Immature? Ooh.
I do. That is a throwback and a half.
Whoa.
That's a throwback and a half. I'm like, let me Google that real quick. What they look like again?
Like, guys,
oh yes.
Marcus
okay.
Houston.
Marcus Houston. That was it. Okay.
And then switching to Housewives really quick.
Yeah.
What Real Housewives moment lives in your head rent-free?
Oh God, that's a really good question. I mean, there's a couple of them. I mean, I think like NeNe Leakes, I said what I said.
I said what I said.
As
and
always.
I'm not changing on it, okay?
Mm.
I think that, I feel like that's like a really big moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mention it all when Bethany
Frankel
was like, mention it all!
Mention it all! Mention it all! Because you know what?
Bitch,
I f***ing earn my own living!
Yeah, with the legs.
Yeah, I feel like those two housewives were very important to me. And I feel like it's interesting that their legacies are very complicated now. But I do I would say that like, I always was watching what they were doing. So they like really created a lot of viral moments for me.
Mm-hmm.
that I reflect on a lot. Also, like, Phaedra cursing Kenya out.
I said what I said.
She killed her on stage live.
Jesus. I don't think that's she's crazy. Recovered.
Mm, yeah. Mm-mm.
From no. that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I think those types of movements.
Great moments.
Yeah. Those are good ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are good ones. I really love when Nene and Greg teamed up and said, bop, bop, boop, boop, bam.
Bop the horn on the ass. Boop, 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 bam.
That is still iconic to me. I still have like the goal of wanting to be that in sync with my partner to where you're making sounds and like communicating to each other. Yeah. I think that's really cute.
They were a great couple.
They were great. Loved them.
I mean, great. Mm-hmm. I think they're the rarest of rare couples that divorce and get back together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do that publicly. Yep. As well.
Yeah. With a wedding special.
With a wedding special at that, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
What celebrity are you low-key always checking in on? I have so many answers for this one. It could be a TikTok person too, because there's TikTok phases.
That you on the low at Friday, like 2 a.m., you're like, let me see what such and such is.
You're like, what are they doing?
Let me check on them real quick.
Mine are so, they're just like so straightforward. I think everybody knows. It's like, I'm definitely going to check what Rihanna's doing. I'm mm-hmm. like, what private plane mm-hmm. is she on? Where is she going? Like, what restaurant is she in?
Mm-hmm.
What is mm-hmm. she wearing? It's pretty straightforward. It's like her, okay.
mm-hmm.
Tracy Ellis Ross. I'm like, what is she doing? Okay. Mm-hmm. She's making herself giggle in a corner. Like she's laughing. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, there are a few white celebrities that I'm like intrigued mm-hmm. by their impression on the masses. So I definitely like check to see what they're up to. Like mm-hmm. I'd say Hailey Bieber, Selena Gomez. I'm intrigued by Kylie Jenner's like impact. You know what I'm saying?
Impact.
Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
So when they come up on my timeline or something, I will go down a rabbit hole and be like, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, like. Because it doesn't always get to my timeline.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't always, definitely. Like, get into my conversations. So I think a lot of white celebrities I'm intrigued by as well.
Mm-hmm. Is it the, because I know this is it for me. I don't want to put this on you. Is it the level of nonchalant with which they change culture that you are intrigued by? You know the M word that I don't want to say. But mediocrity. But but that, especially about like a Hailey Bieber, I'm like, you really like try to change the game with this peptide lip treatment, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, I think I am really intrigued by what kind of a subgenre and a subculture of like white womanhood and white femininity right now. Like, I just got fed a clip of Alex Cooper. And I don't listen to her show, and well, I have, just because obviously you need to know what you're critiquing, and it's like the dissonance, and I'm just like, wow, this has major impact. It moves units, it makes money. There are people who completely tuned in and completely agree with this person. I don't see why or how. So I'm intrigued about the mediocrity. I'm For sure. Because I know that we may think it's mediocre, but it is.
Yeah.
It's planned.
It's a PR movement that has been planned out by many people. Mm-hmm. It was, orchestrated. It is supposed to be very particularly relatable.
And somehow
to
does.
Very particularly.
Somehow does relate to masses.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It moves units, it makes money, it makes impressions, reach, engagement. Like, I was watching the Chiefs game last night, and like, people are like, Swift is going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, that's crazy
because she looked like she went to Supercuts last night right before that game. That bayang was wild. She turned to the side.
Oh goodness!
The bang drove me crazy, Marshall.
Wow. Super cuts.
She said it looked super like it was
cuts. $21.99 when she got up to the register.
Oof. Because it's like a whimsical. But that's the thing about her, though. That's her brand. Mm-hmm. And her brand is supposed to very own brand.
Regular.
Yeah, very regular. Very regular. Maybe she did get it super cuts. Maybe she did it in the back seat of her car on the way to see her man play football. Mm.
Yeah.
Relatable.
Mm-hmm. To the masses. Somehow.
Sometimes I like that. I think that does keep me up at night. That stuff kind of I'm like,
oh yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? What is that? Mm-hmm. You know, and like, yeah, the whole Ariana Grande like stuff with her new man and like mm-hmm. how she's always stolen people's men and like it's just it's mm-hmm. stuff like that. I'm just like fascinated.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. So okay, on to the real interview portion now. So
that's just the warm up.
Okay. So we have to ask, who is your favorite interview you've ever done?
Ooh, I really like talking to Serena Williams. She was great. She's always an icon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pam Anderson.
Ooh, wow.
I interviewed Pam Anderson.
That's so cool.
She was fab.
Yeah.
I interviewed her the day after Trump won the election in 2016.
16? Yeah.
Oof. She was like a ray of sunshine.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
I always remember that. Dark day. And so I, like how she's having her glow up, her moment right now, that doesn't surprise me. I saw that back then and I could tell that people misjudged her and she's actually very authentic and real.
Wow. So that's a cool one. Yeah. So your writing has been featured in, I mean, so many different publications, Elle, Vogue, Vanity Fair, just to name a few. You've recently forayed into digital video, that space. What's your favorite part of now working in digital media and doing face to camera type of work?
I love it so much because it's so immediate and it's so, I mean, there's obviously a lot of editing involved, but it's not as perplexing as writing a whole 4,000 word cover story. There's a little more levity to it. And I love just hopping up on an IG live at its crudest. Like that's like a very crude form of like what we do, right? Getting on there and talking to people and immediately like starting a conversation because these thoughts, I was having these thoughts and I just want to get them out. So I really love that part. I love creating like a little world, right? So it's just you, your interviewer, you're in a studio, you're in like a soundproof studio and you're kind of just tucked away for a moment and you can have rich conversation and laughter and like connection with somebody. And I really love that. And it's not, I don't know. It doesn't feel rushed. Because a lot of interviews now are very rushed. People are like, we have 45 minutes. That's why I really don't do cover stories anymore. I kind of decided I didn't really want to do cover stories anymore because the publicist gives you like 45 minutes to an hour with someone you're supposed to be writing a cover story on.
Yeah.
That seems so risky.
Didn't it used to be like a whole day? Yeah, it does seem very risky
for their client.
It seems very risky, and because they don't want you to run the risk of asking them questions that they don't know the answer to. You're very lucky if you get multiple days with a star, or you get more than a couple of hours. That's been my experience. When I interviewed Cardi B, it was in the middle of COVID and her publicist wasn't on the first call. So we literally like talked for 2 hours and it was very unhinged. And like, you know, I was like, oh, this is great. You know, cause I know that if your publicist was on this call, she would have cut it so short and you would, and you would have been really editing your words and like, and watching what you said and all these types of things. It just kind of takes the joy and the like authenticity and spontaneity out of it. So I really like this format right here because it's just like we can jump on, we can have this call. We live in three different parts of the city, but we have something to say, we have something to discuss. And the feedback's immediate. Like, you could put a clip up, up from this,
right,
up, you know, in 30 minutes after we get the call or something. And then, you know, there's just, I love it. It just takes a lot of pressure off of, but there's also the same breath. There's a lot of FaceTime. So I don't know how you guys deal with that. Just being
on.
If someone's face
on a lot.
On present. Like,
Yeah, like someone could see you on the street and they're like, I know you. You're like, like,
yeah.
So there's,
it's a weird element to it.
It is. It is.
So one thing you mentioned was like the levity that you can kind of protect in the face to camera space. And we read that you've called your writing before your purpose, your political intervention. We were recently looking at an interview with Kerry Washington. She said being a Black person and being a woman is to tell political stories. How do you find yourself in that intersection of like the levity and, you know, speaking your, you know, using your voice for purpose and political intervention in this new podcasting space? I think that's something we've often struggled with. You know, we're called Two Black Girls, One Rose. We're here to talk about The Bachelor and reality TV and have fun. But sometimes it gets serious. So it's like, how have you kind of managed to, you know, do this for yourself, create that balance in this new space?
That's real. I think I'm all over the place, anyway, generally in my interests. So I never shy away from that, I don't think. So if, for instance, I'm talking about housewives, I'm definitely going to talk about it from a socio-political lens and be like, you know, this season really bothered me because there were so many issues of so many tropes of African religion that really made me uncomfortable. And I feel like it's dangerous and it's actually very irresponsible on Bravo's part. Like, I would, I would take it from that perspective. I'm still talking about something that's kind of shallow.
Still, at the end of the day, Real Housewives.
I know. Like, it's also shallow. And, but I definitely feel like it has greater subtext. And so I think I try to never shy away from that. Taking things I think are interesting, just observations, and just exploring them. And, you know, I do think, because I'm not someone, and I say that writing is my political interventions because I'm not always going to be at a mass protest, but I can say something online that could spur someone to think differently.
Right.
I can write an article that is really important for a group of people who feel very underrepresented and unseen. And that's really remarkable. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm also a woman and I'm trying to, you know, make it in this economy. So I'm also trying to like laugh at the end of the day. And I'm also trying to like be myself and, you know, have some type of joy because it's really bleak. So if that's like me having a phone call with a friend or, and we talk about these issues, but we do it in a way that makes me feel a little like the load's lightened, that really helps. I don't know if I'm answering this correctly, but
no, I think you are. I mean, that's something, joy is like a huge, kind of like theme and protected sacred thing for Justine and I here at this platform because I think Black women, sure, we from our, if we speak from our perspective, it's going to get political real quick. It's going to, you know, touch on social issues real quick. But I think we also deserve to have conversations that are joy and light and, you know, can have some levity. And it takes a lot of control and intention to protect that for ourselves because we do see from our lens, which can very easily, you know, become, you know, political or what have you, just because we're walking in our shoes, you know? So I hear exactly what you're saying.
It's like, why can't you just enjoy the show? And I'm like, I can, but I have questions.
Like, I can, I do, but I also want to talk about this other thing.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're a journalist first, and it's interesting that you talk about
all of your interest and everything for this next question, but we have found that we start off as podcasters, we would live tweet occasionally, and that was the only social media that we had when we first started our podcast 6 years ago. And now we have forayed into full-blown content creation and branding ourselves, which has been a struggle at times to do both effectively. And I know as a journalist, you're one of the few in the journalism space that have really put themselves out there, face to camera, opinions out, talking about pop culture in real time. And I just want to know where you think that journalism is headed. Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic with the amount of short form video that's out? Is it diluting credibility for people? Because I don't think your credibility is diluted at all, no matter how short your video is. And then there's some people who I have no idea what they do when they're trying to get me to believe whatever they say. Like, it's really a lie. Yeah. So what do you think about journalism, the state of journalism? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic?
I'm pretty pessimistic. I mean, I'm kind of a nihilist about a lot of things, unfortunately. But I think, I don't know if you guys saw, but this one tech writer from The Washington Post, I think, she put out a TikTok last week. It was just talking about all the firings and dismissals that was that have gone on across different publications, and doing that during an election season is very telling and very pointed. And I do think that the money is there. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a real big business guy, and he was just like, the money's there, it's just being reserved for AI. So I do think the focus and pivot is going to be away from, real life
human journalists
reporting. Jeez. Exactly. And I think the pivot is going to be towards AI, which is really unfortunate, because I don't know if you've ever asked a ChatGPT to tell you to write something for you, but it's not the same as sitting with someone in a room and, one-on-one having a quality conversation. It's just not going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's happening, because it also is happening in tandem with, apparently now children aren't reading books in school. I didn't know about this, but apparently they're not learning to read books in school. They're just using the internet or using their computers, and also in tandem with them not learning how to write in cursive. So there's like a lot of like communication breakdown that I see that's like happening at the same time. And obviously it's in the age of misinformation as well. So I don't like, for instance, with the genocide that's happening in Gaza, I don't read New York Times anymore. I don't read The Atlantic anymore. There are very, very few publications that I feel like give an actual view of like what's happening and perspective of what's happening. That's why we turn to on the ground journalists in Gaza during
Bisson,
this.
Motez.
Exactly. And it's like, because we cannot rely on these platforms anymore. And there's literally a simultaneous breakdown of communication that's happening. I am scared for sure. And I don't know. I think there'll be more journalists obviously who will be doing that work. I'm right here. I have an iPhone. Let's go. Like, I think there'll be more of that. I'm in the muck, and I'm going to record, and I'm going to report about what it's actually like, because we are being deceived and we're being miseducated. Like kids don't. I was with my niece yesterday, and she was writing in cursive, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so impressed that she's in cursive. I thought the kids, they're not teaching you to do that.
Right.
And she's like, no, I learned last year. And I was like, thank God.
Damn.
Oh my God. I mean, it's not a rule to learn cursive. I just feel as if we are doing children a disservice by not making sure they know how to read and write.
Relying on the robots and the AI to somehow
figure it out for them. Like, doesn't make any sense. Like, respectability politics. I just don't think
No, it's strangely a throwback. It feels like back in the day when you weren't allowed to go on the train with a book. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, that's what that feels like to mm-hmm. me. It like all this book banning stuff, it just feels like a throwback to when people had access to knowledge yeah. and the knowledge was going to shift
yeah.
all of culture.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Yes. Right? Yes. Absolutely. Mm. So mm.
Interesting. Well, you're working on a book that everybody should pick yes. up and read from their local bookstore. And you said in a previous...
I'm like, I haven't finished the proposal.
It's like, not quite yet.
Like 2025.
I know, I'm like, oh my God.
And you said it's about race and class in America. You hope it speaks to the kid who grew up in the suburbs and felt out of place. So... me and Natasha for the past 6 years have been the Black rebels of Bachelor Nation. We speak a lot about our upbringing and attending PWIs. Mm-hmm. We were both all girls school graduates as well.
Same.
We've seen an uptick in this narrative, though. We have Danielle Prescott's token Black girl. She's from New York / Connecticut. We have Z-Way's Black friend. She's a Northeast girl. She went to a boarding school in Northeast part of the country. What can we expect from your story, who you grew up in the Bible Belt in Dallas, correct?
You know, exactly. Yeah, I did. Yeah. What can you expect? I mean, I kind of look at it from like, I don't want to give away too much, you know, the African proverb rule, but I,
yes.
the way I kind of look at it is like, how does class and race, the intersection of class and race, and gender, how does that all impact me in different realms of my life, from like mm-hmm. my education to the way that I speak to the friends that I have, to the people I date, to the politics I have, the sex that I have, to the jobs that I have, you know, because mm-hmm. that's kind of yep. how I look at it. And I think that growing up in the South, from that perspective, because I also grew up in a town, Dallas is very different from like a Houston. And I also grew up in a time, it was a different era. I think there was a much more of a like essentialist notion of Blackness. I think Blackness mm-hmm. had to look like a certain thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like we have a broader mm-hmm. definition, and we have much more different representations of what Blackness can be.
Right.
Which mm-hmm. is fabulous. Mm-hmm. But when you're 9, 10 years old, you have like one
view.
Role,
mm-hmm.
one, mm-hmm. one lane. And I also, I say the difference between Dallas and Houston is that like Houston was much more densely populated with Black folks, okay. and Dallas was much, much whiter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was much more segregated, racially segregated. Like mm-hmm. there's actually like a place in Dallas called Highland Park where Black people cannot buy real estate to this day.
Wow.
Yes. So I think maybe a few have come, you know, a few, yeah. but
who wants to?
But yeah, it's at this like, point.
Like, well, and then there's literally a place in Texas called White Settlement, Texas. And it's a suburb outside of Dallas. So this is like the type of environment that I was growing up mm-hmm. in, where you're like, you know, you're not around a huge, expansive Black community that's affirming. There's a very essentialist notion of like what Blackness looks like. You don't necessarily fit into that box, so you're running around the suburbs trying to figure out who the hell you are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically like run off to the Northeast. Okay, and yeah. New York to figure that out. And I'm still like redefining and refining that a definition of myself today, especially in light of the background noise, which is that now there's a lot more open acceptance of different iterations of Blackness. So that's kind of mm-hmm. that's broad strokes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for sharing that. Honestly,
yeah.
I can't wait to read that. Just this journey of self-discovery for that that particular specific Black woman, but how that story is going to connect with so many people in their own journeys of self-discovery, particularly when it comes to figuring out your role within your racial identity.
Yes. Because it's like, they all play in tandem with one another.
Right.
They all intersect.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I need to go work on that after this.
Like saying things out loud for the first time. Like, wait, what? Okay, that sounds good.
Wait, okay, it's probably like, where are you?
On a pod with us right now. Yeah, talking to tell me.
I'm making a TikTok. Oh my God, stay focused.
Hilarious. Oh my God. Speaking of housewives, okay. Do you have a housewives Mount Rushmore? Who would be on it? I know you love NeNe. You just mentioned she's on our she's on our Mount Rushmore as well. Who else?
She's so good.
I know.
You know, when what's her name? Bethany came up with this concept, I was just like, Bethany,
you're such a isn't she so far up her own
ass?
I know.
She's like the Mount Rushmore of housewives. Obviously, I'm on it. Vanderpump. You're like, I guess. I liked Lisa Vanderpump, but I never really liked.
Yeah.
She's not Rushmore for me.
She's not Rushmore.
But she's on many people's, and I don't really get it. But
that's interesting, Natasha, because you love Vanderpump Rules.
I do love Vanderpump Rules. Yeah, I do, but not for Lisa.
Like, does it come out?
Just, damn, not for Lisa.
So what does she do? She like comes in. She's like, "Well, what are you doing?" And then like, "Oh, I just fucked my neighbor."
So
and
so, yeah.
She's like, "Hey."
Gives them a little talking to. Yeah. Oh my God.
That's really it. She's not on my Mount Rushmore. I definitely NeNe Leakes is on my Mount Rushmore. I mean, even though I just shat on her, I do think that Bethany Frankel created great TV. I think she's fab. Who else? I do love Luann.
Oh wow,
the Countess.
Maybe it's because I just watched their greatest. You know how they did the Legacy tour trip?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's because I just watched the Legacy trip. But I'm just trying to figure out, like, you know, the women that I watch. Like, if they're on screen, I'm looking for them.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, invested in their narrative.
Whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I look for Luann. I'm like, where is she? When it comes to Beverly Hills, oh, God. I don't. They're. It's hard. This is a hard question.
Anyone from Potomac? Any of the Potomac ladies make your cut?
I think Karen could probably be up there in a few seasons.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that she's held her own. I think she's created a real legacy. I watch for her when the camera's rolling. I watch that really just because it's between seasons, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing else on, so I will watch it.
Yeah.
I do not think that Teresa. Yeah. I'm not a fan.
No, I don't think Mount Rushmore level. I don't think so.
They really believe that she is because of the scene, because of this engaged 17 times prostitution whore.
Oh, I mean, that was iconic, and she's one of our first felons, and she came back. And, you know, and I'll always coin them as the most ghetto franchise.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, there's something I gotta get off my chest, girl.
Tell me.
I've been low-key struggling with my relationship with my phone and social media. Just the over-accessibility these devices create, this addiction to Instagram, the distraction from everyday life and the people closest to me. It's been really stressing me out. I'm not even going to lie.
I mean, that makes sense. Content overload is very real, and staring at everybody's highlight reels can be overwhelming and can absolutely steal your joy and peace. We carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. You all know we're huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout different stages of my life and areas where I've needed help, from eating disorders to new relationships to my ever-changing relationship with my family. Therapy has really helped me to set boundaries and prioritize my self-care.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/2BG1R. The Real Housewives of New Jersey, by far.
You're not wrong.
And I think that's, you know, fun. And they've put their whole family life out there, and that's fun. But they also can be like a little, they can be a little replaceable. Like the husbands really make it for me for New
Jersey.
The
husbands cement them. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. The husbands. The husbands on there, I think they have a lip, they have Patricia energy though. Like, you know, when Patricia. Remember when Nene called Peter Patricia?
Like
they're giving like
every best one of them.
All up
they're
in
giving
it.
Like they're a little too. I need camera time.
Yeah, very invested, overly invested. Yeah,
they're overly invested.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like maybe Phaedra would also be on my Mount Rushmore because I am really.
She's a good one.
I'm very intrigued by her. She's a Scorpio, which made me realize like why we know nothing about her.
Okay.
Still.
Oh.
Dang. Private.
Yeah.
Privacy. Damn. Phaedra, are you watching The Traitors, Marjan?
Yeah. Am I watching who?
Oh, The Traitors.
The Traitors.
It's on Peacock.
It's Marjan.
Oh,
I'm
my
telling
God.
You right
Phaedra's
now.
She's running it right
I'm
now.
I'm telling you, she's running the whole show. You gotta watch it and get through the first episode. It's like, but then you, why? You're like, oh, you're hooked. By episode three, I was. It every Thursday,
yeah. And it's like prime Phaedra. It's prime Phaedra.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Okay. I watched the beginning of it, and then I was like, I'm tired, so I turned it off. And I'm sorry. I will try to go back.
It's boring. The first two episodes are boring.
The first episode is a bit. It's a lot of B-roll. It takes a minute to kind of get in, but we're now at episode like five, and
she's winning.
Yeah, she's running shit.
She's killing
it. She's Scorpio. She's not going to ever talk about herself.
Wow.
Oh, she's like, wow.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That Mount Rushmore question was answer was lame. I'm sorry. I just.
No.
Like, Nene, Bethany, Phaedra.
Nene, Bethy, Phaedra. And the Countess. Yeah.
The Countess. Yeah. I don't know. That's just. Yeah.
That works.
That's okay.
That definitely works.
Maybe Huger in a couple of seasons.
Yes, maybe Karen will make it.
Yeah.
Okay, before we dive into Potomac, Justine, what pop culture stuff do you have for the pre-show?
Yeah, we'll be talking, I don't even want to say Megan versus Nikki. I guess we'll be talking Hiss versus Bigfoot.
Okay, yes. Megan and Nikki, today. We got to. Well, if you want to listen to our episode ad-free with our juicy pre-show hot takes on this Megan and Nikki weekend that we had.
Consuming.
Yes, consume the weekend. Please join the Rose Garden over at Patreon. Head to patreon.com/number2blackgirls, number1rose. On Patreon, you can also watch us on video. You can join us for our current rewatch of Insecure Season 1. And you can try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. All right.
So we open up Wendy and Eddie. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Surprise their son Carter for his 10th birthday. Do you guys remember They're turning so double digits? That was such a big deal. Yeah. Turning 10,
yeah,
right?
It was a big deal.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's like your first huge milestone as a human.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Love it. Okay. Then we are hit with Giselle and Ashley sitting down to discuss.
You can do anything you want.
Oh, my God.
Ashley and Giselle want a sequined rhinestone legging athleisure line. Do whatever you want. Marjan, write that book, girl. Everybody's going to buy it. What you mean?
Giselle so thinks true.
She can sell clothing. Okay?
This is like an SNL skit. I was like, this a joke? Are that these two? These two are creating
like,
a
why would
fashion
anyone
line?
Take any fashion advice from Giselle? If it looks from anything Giselle. Like your house, I'm going to mess. Are you
house, wigs, clothing she currently has on, clothing that she previously has had on. Like,
oh what my do you, God.
What do we think about that? I think, you know, mm-hmm. her sense of taste is really derived from the fact that, like, she was a pretty girl mm-hmm. and she mm-hmm. never had mm-hmm. to, no one would ever tell her.
Mm-hmm. She looked the mess.
It was always like, like who's gonna tell her? And she was just, and no one did.
No one did. That's no. Exactly. It.
And her face probably saved it. Her face probably saved it for a little while.
yeah, but now you on TV.
You know what I mean?
Now you on TV.
I know, but now you on
girl,
TV.
Girl, everybody's pretty.
Like 12.
Right.
I know.
Everybody's pretty.
Like $12.99.
Look at ooh, like $12.99.
Yeah, so cheap.
We have had very intellectual conversations on this platform and me with my non-fashionable boyfriend about the fashions on Potomac and the like real, there's like some real stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's expectation of housewives and the expectation of housewives that live in a place like Potomac mm-hmm. are just too high. Like we talk about Wendy, everything that Wendy
so
wears,
great.
We know exactly what it is.
Yes.
We have all scrolled by it and we all seen it. That Mugler bodysuit is played the fuck out now. She thought she was eating them bitches up 2 weeks ago. You know what I'm saying?
She was in Potomac.
She was in Potomac
was in
at
Potomac.
The time they filmed, yes.
And
we gotta
yes.
give her that.
In Texas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They've never seen a Mugler cat suit.
And Austin.
True. Close.
True, true.
Yes, yes, yes. but I think it has to do with size. I think it has to do with age. I think there's a lot of things going on with the fashions in Potomac, but these two girls coming together to think that they can create something in between Lululemon and
oh
Savage
God.
X Fenty is pure delusion.
Very
that's
delusional.
Nothing else really.
It's going
that's delusional behavior.
Direct to
like,
TikTok shop is where we're
going
to see
what?
It. Direct. God.
Well, wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute. What if, remember embellished hats?
Yes.
That
yes.
made Robin a lot of money.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. More than they had.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
She became the yeah. breadwinner until he got the job. And is it like that? Is it another embellish, like a get rich quick
okay.
scheme?
I think so. Somebody will
and,
buy
yeah.
GNA. There will be some women walking around
you
with
think?
GNA.
You
somebody bought some
embellish was like silk lined or something,
somebody,
but they had a little different, you know, a silk lined, you know.
Somebody
if,
bought those
right?
hats.
No,
if Ashley gets to sucking on TikTok, she could sell this GNA oh, line. I'm telling you, TikTok shop, oh, y'all sleeping oh, on it. They could do something there. I think so.
With rhinestones and lace,
and Ashley doing a little TikTok
yoga?
Dance and selling it. Yes, I think. I think so. But
she
direct,
is so funny.
Direct
she is,
there. I don't know where else.
She is,
yeah.
She
yeah.
is allergic to work. I love it.
Truly.
I fucking love
yep.
it. She is
yep.
so trad wife down. She is
mm-hmm.
like, I
yes.
am not getting
totally.
A job.
Totally resistant. God.
Absolutely. I'm like, okay. All right, cool. That means you're still married to Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Still to this day.
Lord.
Still married to Michael.
She not divorcing that man?
She not divorcing him, no. So then we have, okay, Karen sits with Aunt Val, Cousin David. They are talking about the Queen Sugar
Love
plantation me. That they are working on together. Don't you feel like you watch it? Don't you feel like they talk about Queen Sugar?
Yes, I do.
Straight up.
Yes, I do.
What's that like family? I forget. That's what they give me. The Aunt Val, the cousin, and then they go down and they
yeah.
see the whole rest of the family. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes. Oh. Yes. down to the folding chair.
So
in the living room. That's what it was. Immortal family. And Karen now is claiming she might be selling some weed in the back, so she's trying to like run that by Aunt Val.
Oh boy.
Feelings about that.
Karen in the estate
selling weed, like getting on the cannabis train.
I know, everybody's jumping on.
It's great.
Yeah.
Everybody's jumping
on. That's the thing though. Yeah. Everybody's jumping on. Not everybody can grow weed. Like,
right.
This is like a science and art to it. Just because it's legal in your state doesn't mean you can now start growing weed and do it well. You know, there's a lot of trash product out there. So I hear Karen, but I hope she aligns with the right people to do it.
Exactly.
Align with your local dealer. Yeah.
Does she smoke?
She kind of insinuated as if she did, but I don't know.
I would smoke with Karen Huger.
Me too.
She would be in your cypher? You would smoke with her?
Yes.
Karen would be fun.
She'd be so fun.
Karen would be really fun.
Come on. At the very least.
Actually, you know what? Yeah. Karen drunk, blackout drunk at night.
She's fun.
I was saying, Karen, hey. I was like, us on white wine, we don't even need the weed, but me and Karen on white wine.
A good time.
Yeah.
A good time.
And Candace confirmed that. She came on our show a couple weeks ago and she did confirm that Karen is the key. Like, she was fresh out of BravoCon and she was like, Karen is the one. The party animal.
Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed. Wait, I really have a lot of questions about Candace. That interview.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's a fun one. I'll let you get to your spiel. I'm sorry. I'm like,
I know.
It's fine. You're
I was like, wait, I had a question. You're like, that's not how this works.
Now this works. We'll talk at the end of the show. Thanks. Okay, let's chug along. So we have Robin and Mia. They meet up. They go to a little spa, a little salt room situation. Mia fills Robin in on how she had sought out a divorce attorney about a year ago because of her and Gordon's issues. In the same conversation, we learned that Robin and Juan are not in therapy.
No.
She said that their issues are not each other. They're fine and they're just trying to enjoy life more. I'm ready from the beginning was struggling to really have empathy for Robin. I have like none. Yeah. I have none to give.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have nothing to give to her. This is ridiculous.
Do you feel like it's like a Simone Biles, we just have to leave her right here moment?
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's what she wants.
She loves it. That's what she wants.
She's doing just fine. Yep.
She's fine. Like, leave her alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's been with this man since she was 15 years old.
She know what it is. So we can't want more for her. She needs to have more for herself. We can't want it for her. She's fine.
Natasha,
that was crazy.
Not on therapy? That's crazy.
And you're at like, and the lies that keep coming. It's not each other. It's just like, what? Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
Crazy. Right. Okay. We have a little scene. Eddie and Wendy went to a Jamaican restaurant. Wendy in this red va-va-voo dress looked great.
Loved it. Yeah, she looks really good.
Great.
Yeah, her glam looks great too.
Yes. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Her hair looks cute.
Really good.
So we get a little update on her YouTube show. She is completely overwhelmed. She just wants to get on the mic. She honestly should just turn on IG Live and just get to it if she really.
Right.
Right. This whole YouTube show seems like a lot.
I know.
Marjan, speaking of comments and arguing comments, we had some trouble with our last TikTok about Wendy and her businesses. And somebody did comment and say that people were upset that we said that Wendy had too many businesses that don't align with each other at all and are all a mess, right? And we want more for Wendy.
Yes.
If you have four degrees, I want more.
I don't
for
want
you
a flop like company.
A mother daughter. Right. A flop candle, a book about being a daughter, like it's just all over the place. Somebody commented and said that Zen Wen and Happy Eddie should be one business, which I completely agree with. I think that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. And to sell weed out of that one
weed
store.
Weed and wellness.
I think that would be weed and wellness.
I see the alignment.
I like it.
I see it. Yeah, I love it. I do you think that Wendy should like narrow down, or do you think that that's too, we're thinking too narrowly for her and she should do whatever she wants.
No, I think you're right. I think she is doing a lot of things. Remember, she wanted a restaurant last year that was going to be a lounge, yes, and a library,
the lounge,
and a
book club,
community center, and like it's like that's not. I was like, that's not real. That's not what's happening.
I'm focused.
Yeah, you have to get focused on what you want to do. I mean, I see for her being like a talking head. I really saw her on something like The View or the what's that show that they canceled? It was really good.
Oh,
the one who got canceled.
The Talk?
The Real?
Like something like The Real. Like something like that where I just felt like she could be more like of a political voice. Because I feel like that's really her stronghold and her strong suit. I feel like everything else, it probably doesn't get the same type of attention because she's being pulled in so many different things. She likes them, but it doesn't like push her. So I
And if I say one more thing, I really love a housewives business that is a turned around insult, like candy coated nights. And like Candy's vibrator line, and
Happy
like
Eddie.
All that
Happy
is
Eddie.
Happy Eddie. All that is like turned around housewives jokes that I really like, especially as like a Bravo.
Oh
stand-up.
Yeah, taking
right
lemons and turning it into lemonade. Like absolutely, I definitely agree with that. That's just smart. You have this huge platform. Happy Eddie is a great name. I thought that was brilliant. They looked beautiful in their confessional too.
They are a really cute couple.
I do think Wendy just does a lot. I think she's doing
the
a
most
lot.
Do
you think that that's like a Nigerian excellence thing, like she has to do everything really
I wonder what her sister's doing, her cousins are doing. Like people are probably doing stuff, and so she feels the pressure to now, you know, what's her next thing?
What's
that
her
could
next
definitely
thing?
Be it.
Just do one thing really, really well.
Focus.
And you could like see on C-SPAN. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Karen and Ray, they go to lunch. Marjan. Does Ray not look like God personified? Do you know what I'm saying?
That is one of the hardiest laughs I've ever had. When
does
Natasha
he not
God,
look like
he's so
God
old.
In the flesh,
well,
down
Natasha
walking
said,
on earth?
They go to lunch. Like I said, like that's not a real thing. Who cares?
They went to lunch. Karen is with the Holy Ghost Spirit himself.
I forgot.
They're talking about her 5% calcium deposits and the same old same.
Oh, God.
So Karen is, she says she's going to pull names out the hat
to invite
folks to Surrey. And she's inviting Candace, Giselle, Ashley, and Wendy, all of whom have accepted. Right. Except for Giselle, because Giselle doesn't like anyone here except for Ashley, I guess.
Yeah,
so,
I guess for Ashley, yeah.
Not surprised.
Okay.
We got another little quick scene, NECA and Ike and their new house that they are still unpacking and furnishing. And I want to see more of their relationship. She keeps reminding us that they've been mostly long distance.
Yeah.
Because he does the travel physician stuff, and now they're like living together for the first time. I want to see that. I want to see that life of living now for the first time with their husband.
Yeah,
this is like our second time seeing Ike in like the whole season, right?
Right, in 12 episodes. Right. Yeah.
I just want to know more about her because I think she came in so hot that I just didn't. I have such an allegiance to Wendy. Or at least like a soft spot for Wendy that I was just kind of like, who are you? I didn't get a chance to know who she was because I was like, I was mad that they were yelling at each other. And I was like, why are you bothering Wendy? But so now I'm sitting here like, who are you? I want to know more.
Then
I will make my judgments.
Make your judgment then. So Giselle comes over. Charisse pops by. Just surprise,
you
Charisse
know.
Is here. It's like, what? Oh my God.
Popped out the champagne room. Here comes Charisse.
Here comes Charisse. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. Okay, yes. This is a question for the patrons and everybody listening. Is the North and regular Potomac, is it the same as like Southern and Northern New Jersey?
Okay.
Because when I said that at a party recently, I was like, oh, you're going back to South Jersey? It was like, skirt, it was like record scratch. Everybody turned around. What are you talking about, South Jersey? I don't live there.
Oh, damn.
Like crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was insane. It was so funny. Wow. We had beef all night. It was hysterical. But it's like that though. When people say like, "Oh, you're in Central Jersey or you're in North Jersey," is it the same thing in Potomac? Mm. Put down below in the comments.
I
want to
know.
I would love to know.
Some imaginary line that.
Yeah,
Karen.
Nekka seemed very offended though. She's like, "I'm not in North Potomac. I'm in Potomac proper." So anyways, Giselle recalls her beef with Candace and Wendy. That's why she declined the Surrey invite. And then out of the blue, Karen sends out another text saying that she has increased her liability insurance.
Oh my God.
And everyone's invited now.
Can you explain
I love how
that
the insurance
me?
Is the blame.
Like, yeah. I was
please,
like,
Karen, explain this.
Can either one of you explain this? I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I feel like they're filming. So I feel like the people who are filming take over the insurance.
Or is it the house? Because the house is like 100 years old and it cannot have so many people in it.
Maybe
and
that's it.
If
maybe.
Someone gets
maybe.
Hurt in it. You know,
right.
That was my guess. I don't know. But now everybody's invited. So, and the trip, they leave tomorrow, by the way. So.
Mm-hmm. And all these people have kids.
Yeah, all these people have families.
Families. Every last one.
Karen. Oh my God.
She's
so
a mess.
Yeah. She's a mess. So time for the trip. Nekka decides to join Candace, Wendy, and Ashley on the trip. Mm-hmm. And they're driving in the little bus, whatever, and they start their little journey. And Wendy shares that she's having an upcoming happy Eddie event. Crickets on whether she's inviting Nekka. She kind of just Nekka's sitting right there. She kind of just like invites collectively everybody to the event, but doesn't really specifically invite Nekka. And then Nekka follows up by inviting everybody to her like housewarming party or something.
Unpacking.
I think
unpacking party and
unpacking.
Mm-hmm. And she specifically invites Wendy.
Yeah,
what's an unpacking party?
I never invite people over to have. You cannot invite those girls to come over to unpack.
I hope that's not what it is.
No.
I hope that was like a play on words or something cute, another way of saying housewarming. But we're not. Are people coming to your house filled with boxes?
Yes.
That's not cute.
No, it's not.
What?
I'm like,
no,
that's crazy. Just throw a housewarming.
And
just wait. Just unpack and then do the party. Yeah. I feel like she thinks like clock is ticking though, because she knows this is like episode 11 and she hasn't shown shit. So she's gotta figure something out real quick. So Nekka specifically invites Wendy. And I knew in this moment she was giving herself the ill setup, because I already knew Wendy was gonna say, "We are skipping steps. How can you invite me to this your party? We still are where we're at." And she told her exactly that. We're skipping 20 million steps. So,
yeah.
Now, Ashley shares about her athleisure line. Wendy lets out the cackles of all cackles. Couldn't even help herself.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God.
It's too much.
They get to... the property, 104-year-old structure. Mm-hmm. This is Karen's grandma's house. And we get a little bit of history. The house was passed down from, I guess, the slave master who had children with the housekeepers, who is her descendants, basically, or her family, Karen. The women, they're like doing some, I don't know, fake hoeing of the land just to get
a
laugh.
That was cute, though.
You thought so?
I thought them running in a field.
That was cute.
With the snakes, the fake snakes.
That was the cutest thing I'd ever seen on a Housewives.
Oh,
like, they
God.
Were genuinely having fun and genuinely liked each other in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
We never
knew
those
that's
moments.
True. It is rare. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it ends pretty quickly because they sit and Wendy and Nekka get right into it. So cuteness has ended, Marshawn. I'm so sorry.
Right back to Housewives.
Yeah. And Wendy's like, look, I'm about family. I'm about sisterhood. And at the end of the day, NECA, you called me a bitch. You called my mama a witch. You talk shit on my husband and my sister. Like, and you couldn't, I mean, you can't really argue on that.
Yeah.
You're like, nope, that's it.
That's kind of what happened. Yeah. And she did. She was like, mm-hmm. I only told the truth. And Wendy said, well, guess what? Your existence is, quote unquote, inconsequential to my happiness. So she wants nothing to do with her. She has no use for her. Mm-mm. You know, she, this whole invitation to my unpacking party, again, she's like, you're skipping so many steps. You need to take accountability for what you said. And I'm just not sure what NECA's strategy, what her game plan is.
Because she came with one. That's what's confusing. Because she came in hot, right, beefing with another housewife and without a storyline. So for her to come in with that as the game plan is still confusing. We're still looking for it. We're still looking for the blueprint of what she came with.
Yeah. What do you think of NECA Marjan?
Yeah.
And what is she, how can she help herself at this point?
Well, it was like what I was saying earlier. She came, and to your point too, Justine, like she came in so hot that I was like, who are you? I mean, I understand that a rookie's move to historically make a name for yourself is to go after a big fish, like on the cast, is to have some type of confidence to suggest, you know, show that you can hang and you can take someone out. That's kind of, it's like some game of chess. And in truth, it was Ashley's fault. Mm-hmm. That all of this happened.
Started it all. That's true.
So it was very funny when Ashley was like, I just really hope that you two can get over it. And I was like, fuck you. Like, you're the one.
You started this.
That started all this. And you brought all this bone because you had no idea what OSU is. And you're just like, you're just talking out of your ass and using this trope of like, of traditional African religions, folklore to, rise up these ideas of witchcraft and voodoo and dark stuff. It's just wrong. So it was really Ashley's fault. But to your point about NECA, I don't really know her. So I don't know how I feel about her. Because she started fighting with Wendy, who I am always really protective of because I feel like Wendy doesn't really have any friends.
Yeah, not like for real. She has Candace. I think she can lean on Candace in certain moments.
They're really friends.
Yeah, they don't get like Candace or Giselle and Karen, right? They're friends. Like when push comes to shove, like that's her friend for 20 years or whatever. Yeah,
I just don't think that they ride for each other in the same way that like you would really need. So I'm always very, very protective of Wendy because I think she's very vulnerable in that dynamic. She's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's very smart, but she's also kind of clueless, at the same time. And I think that she's up against a lot of, interracial, issues.
Yeah.
You know, bias, I guess. So I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think her and Candace are like filming buddies. Yes. I don't know if they're like friends to your point. That's a good point.
They're coworker friends.
Yeah, coworker friends.
What do you guys think of NECA?
I was actually just going to ask you, Marjan, because I don't want to hate on every single rookie this year. I think it was the year of like crazy rookie housewives, right? We had NECA and Anne Marie. Anne Marie is drowning on Cherry Hills right now. Like, it's bad. And her husband is famous. Mm. Like, really, really famous.
Isn't he a sexual predator?
I didn't say what he's famous for.
I was like, he's not Brad Pitt. He's just...
Yes. No, he's not. Like, but he is well known. He's a known name. Mm. And she also came in hot for another housewife. And I think if you do that, you have to, number one, be extraordinarily rich. Mm. Like crazy rich. Like Erica Jane. Erica Jane came in hot, same way. But she was private plane rich, so she could say those kinds of things. And she was really friends with Yolanda, who was also a vulture, as we know. And that was really her friend. Like, NECA is not really friends with Ashley. So she doesn't really have like an anchor. And so that's also very disappointing. You don't have another way for us to get to know you. And it's the same with Anne-Marie. Is Anne-Marie really friends with Kyle? Not really. And the only person who really like blew it out the water is now fired. I want to call her Monica. Monique. What is her name? From Monica from Salt Lake. Incredible. She, incredible, but it was a one and done.
I think
she's
not. I think
she'll be back after like a season break.
God. Yeah, I agree. I think the cast that suspends disbelief is Salt Lake City. I think it's like someone had said this before, and I think it's really great. Like they're the campiest of the housewives. So there have been things that have been tolerated on that show that wouldn't be tolerated on others. And I have a feeling that Monica will be back because they're going to be like, this show sucks right now without
her. Yes. Yeah. But it's a rough one for the first timers.
Yeah. They're having a rough year. Go these ones.
What did you think? Well, yeah. Cause then we had the whole season of Roni as the first timers.
And the whole season of Roni was very polarizing. I thought everybody had different opinions on it. A lot of people were bored with it. I, at times, was very bored with Roni. And they all weren't friends. And that one girl who left, whose husband just got in more trouble, I heard the other day, said some crazy shit the other day, I think. I don't even want to repeat it. But he, just having that missing piece of this girl not being there and being fired mid-season.
She was part of the original cast. The Sayo.
Part of the original cast of Roni.
The N-word. That called.
That said the N-word to Brynn,
I think. Yes.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Yeah. Her husband said some weird shit earlier. I forget what it was. It was something with his medical practice. And being Israeli of some kind. But I can't remember exactly what it was. So I'm not going to repeat it here. But y'all can look it up if you want to. But just having that missing piece, and it was so obvious during Roni, that was really upsetting. And it was really noticeable.
Yeah.
So it's just a rough time for the first time.
2023. I hear what you're saying. They were talking around it because they had to like literally cut around it.
You could feel the gaping hole.
That's crazy.
So anyways, that was Potomac. Next week seems like Karen is gonna get into it with Mia. Some allegations about Mia with a rapper,
which are true.
Which are true.
Who was carrying her to the car the other day? That's true.
Yeah. So we'll see the origins of that.
Mia's like, you ain't got no money. I don't have the time.
She got to roll out. Yep. Yeah. This arrangement is no longer working for her.
Oh, it's gone. Go.
Yeah.
Gordon knows.
He does. He knows what time it is. Yeah. You could see in his face. You could see he knows.
I know. He's like, damn, my family's slipping away too. Damn. Oh, God. Geez. Him and Michael. Michael knows too. That's why they're still married.
Michael Dart. Yeah. Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Anyways, Marjan, thanks for joining us. This was so fun.
This was so much fun.
We can talk endlessly about all of the things. But thank you so much for joining us for this little combo. And tell our listeners what you're currently working on, where they can find you, how they can keep following and keep in touch with you.
They can follow me on Instagram at Marjan_Carlos, at Your Favorite Auntie Show. Season 2 is coming back. We're still in the works to make that happen. Yay! But you can also check out season 1 now, wherever you stream podcasts. Follow Notes from Auntie's Desk on Substack. And I've got some few things coming soon. So
nice. Yes. We'll keep tabs.
Yeah.
We'll keep
tabs. I'm going to work my book proposal now.
Yes. Awesome. Rate, review, subscribe, everybody. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/twoblackgirlsoneroes for ad-free episodes, video, all that good stuff. And we'll be back next week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.